Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
For a visitor, it's fantastic to have you with us. My name's Keith. I serve here at the church, and I love being here. We are a team of a servant leadership team who constantly try to seek what God is saying to us. But the net desire is that every single one of us, within our character, within our lives, are encouraged to find Jesus, to know Him as our Savior, but then to follow Him. Can you imagine stepping into everything that you are always meant to step into, with the King of Kings who knows you and loves you by your side? His life, not only here now, but in eternity. That's the desire, and it's wonderful. And it's great to see you. We, as a team, are grateful for everyone who supports and helps us. Thank you so much. And personally, I just want to give my special thanks to Josh and Holly. Josh, you will know, has been a great support here for a number of years now, since he first turned up here in a snowstorm. Josh and Holly, that's like Spurgeon's testimony, actually, some years ago, and then wondered what the Lord was doing. And now he's a co-laborer alongside me. And what we'd like to do as a church of God's people is we want to formally recognize, we want to recommend to you. Josh is formally recognized. He's a member of the staff team here on church already, so that's something he does, and he's not worried about a title. But we want to formally recognize what he already does as a co-pastor, really. So we want to, over the coming weeks, just over while you're enjoying the Christmas celebrations, really pray for Josh and Holly about what that would look like. Probably very similar, actually, but it's just a case of we'd like to, as a congregation, affirm them as a family, as people who serve us, serve, and certainly selfishly alongside me. I'm not certain I could even do half of what I do without the encouragement and the prayers and the practical help of Josh and Holly. So that's that. So please do. If you've got any questions about what would that look like, just talk. Just ask a question. Ask Josh and Holly. Ask any of the leadership team, or ask me. I'd really like that. So great. Well, I'm going to pray. We have a number of elderly who really struggle to be with us. It's lovely to see them in their homes, and they're praying for us. I was with a lovely couple this week, and they pray for us every day. Isn't it great to know that, even though they can't come, you know, they pray? And but we need to pray for them as well, and I'm sure you do, but please do. Ideally, we'd love people to raise up within our pastoral team that Lou is coordinating, people with a real heart for those who can't be amongst us. It might not just be because they're elderly. It may be some other reason. There's all sorts of reasons why people battle. It's great to see Frank back after a few weeks, and I've really missed you. And but not everyone can make it. And so let's, if you've got a heart for that sort of thing, do visiting people, calling, we need some practical help as well. Do speak to us, speak to Lou. Pop your hand in the air, Lou. I'm like, everyone knows Lou, but you know, I like to do that anyway. Because we'd really like to look after those who have served us for so long. And we'd like to do that better and well. And so I'm going to pray for those, and also for our time. I honestly believe the Lord wants to speak to us this morning really, really clearly, and wants to encourage us. So let us pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word, the Bible. I thank you that, Lord, it's been preserved over the years that we might discover your plan, your heart, as you reveal it to us. There are some here today, perhaps, that don't know you, that see you as a distant God. But I thank you for the grand story of the Bible that reveals a God who wants to come down. And even at this time of year, we celebrate God with us in Jesus. And we thank you that not only was it a one-off act of feeling sorry for us or something, but it's a daily experience that God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want to come and live inside of us We find it hard to get our heads around what that might look like. But we will come and make our home with you, said Jesus. Wow. And Lord, I need a tidy up, if I'm honest. I welcome you. We welcome you, Lord, today. And we pray for those who would love to be amongst us to just feel encouraged in the larger gathering, but who can't be. Think particularly of the elderly and the frail. Thinking of Bert and Derek Simpson and Charles. So many, Len and Mari. Others, Lord, that would just so long to be here. And I pray as we use our news sheet that we will use that as a prayer prompt each day to lift up our brothers and sisters. We think of your global church where this is illegal, meeting like this where it's dangerous in some parts of the world. Lord, we've just been able to sing freely, to lift our hands in worship, to be able to chat at the end and stay behind. We'll be able to do that and talk about you, Jesus, without fear of reprisal or arrest. Lord, might it be that you sharpen us to really appreciate these days. And may we right now just remember those in our hearts who are isolated simply because they love Jesus. Might it be, Holy Spirit, that you work. We thank you that you're bringing this whole creation to a consummation, a great time when you'll redeem the whole cosmos and you'll bring your church to yourself in the heavenlies. And that will be with you forever, which is far better. We pray for the Whitley household at the moment, who are grieving the loss of Simon. Lord, I pray for Rugby Elim and the gathering there as they celebrate his life and service for you this Wednesday. Oh Lord, it's heartbreaking in human terms. Might you be with Lisa and the children and the broader family who are still trying to make sense of these things. Oh Lord, would you give us something of a vision of what you can see about this life? That we might not cling on. But Lord, would you be our comforter in these days? We pray for that service that even someone might step from death to life. I know Simon would have loved that. Might it be, Lord, that in the midst of even the darkest grief, that there is light and someone sees Jesus for the first time. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to read some scripture from the book of Exodus. It's a great book. It's the second book in the Bible. And it's kind of at the end of a section now. This is the last one. And then we're going into the Christmas services. And then see the Lord's purposes for maybe having a break with the series in the January. We've got a new motto coming up in January. That'll mean new fridge magnets. If you're a visitor, we get fridge magnets. It's good. So this is at the end of the commandments, and the people are about to prepare for God in the midst, which we'll then move on to much later, probably next year. God in the midst. And they've been prepared. Not only have they been saved up to now, they've been saved to follow. And you know, every one of us is saved to follow. And that's wonderful. And so they've been given all sorts of instructions about how to treat the neighbours and the families. And, you know, the important thing is you need to rest regularly. We saw last week as well. Now, God wants them to realise that there are going to be times when actually the present is pretty hard. And what they really need to be able to do is remember. Because sometimes remembering how God has worked in the past is one of the only ways we can cling on to faith in the present, because it can be so difficult when everything, families and all sorts of things are stacked against us, health or whatever. So the Lord's going to give them some a command around some festivals that will help them remember certain aspects that we'll look at this morning. So in verse 14 of chapter 23, the Lord says this: 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Then celebrate the festival of harvest of first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival then of ingathering at the end of the year. So there's this April, May, kind of October festivals in their calendar. When you gather in your crops from the field, when the harvest is finished, you know, celebrate the festival in gathering as well. And three times a year, all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord. All men are commanded to. It doesn't exclude women, by the way. It's just that sometimes there are certain things in the scriptures where perhaps it's okay if you've got a good reason not to be there. But men, you really need to make the effort. This is what the context of that is. Three times a year, all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord. That's important. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast. The fat of my festival offerings must not be kept until morning. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soul to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Ugh. Yeah, I don't intend to do that. Pagans did it though. People did it then. I mean, that's just horrible. You know, there are times when really, I don't know, if you've ever had a time when you've just clinging on. You know, you're just thinking, gosh, God, I know you're there. I know, because the Bible tells me so, that song, yeah? But sometimes I was talking to Frank this morning, I think, our emotional intelligence takes time and can lag our creed. What we say is true about, yeah, I believe. My emotional intelligence can sometimes lag behind. So I know I believe it, but I just don't feel it at the moment. Anyone ever? I think that's almost, yeah, great. I think it's pretty much probably more that state than the, I'm in my creed now. Oh, got it. Yeah. And, it's really interesting. We saw, and I just introduced it, the whole thing that God last time said, you need to rest as well. We've never been in such a busy time. Christmas is crazy. I mean, we're getting like it now. I remember years ago when we lived in Hong Kong, Leslie and I, that one of the striking things we noticed then, back in 1987, was that the difference in Hong Kong on Christmas Day. Everyone was just doing stuff as normal. And that wasn't here then. You know, right up to the sort of last minute sort of thing. But you see, God here in the text says, you know, if you're going to stay on track with me, sometimes God needs to bring us back to the beginning, to our first love. And I remember when I first came to Jesus, and I've said this, I use this term quite a lot, is 1,000 horses wouldn't have stopped me from saying, I love you, Jesus. I just remember I was 16 anyway, but it's not the point. Try not to blame that on youthful enthusiasm. The Spirit of God, I felt so connected. And I just, whatever, I always thought, yep. Do you kind of know what I'm saying? And that was, so I know it's real. I know, but there are times when it's about clinging on. And so God here is so, so good and clever, God. He knows what we need. And we're coming up to a time of remembering a festival now, aren't we, in this time of the year. But lots of people celebrate and don't remember it. But the Lord says three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Well, is that because God just likes parties? I think there's something else that God wants us to do. And says there's going to be a time, maybe every day between Christmas or whatever it might be, is a tragedy or difficulty. So I want you to have these festivals that remind you of something that is never going to spoil or perish or fade. That is permanent. That is going to be your mainstay when everything fails, friends, family, life, health, everything. This is going to be, if you remember. And I want you to remember what he said in verse 14. I want you to, three times a year, you are to celebrate a festival to me. This, for a change, is not going to be about you. This is going to be about me, says God. And then I think if you take your focus onto me for that focus, Perspective comes. I know when I'm in here, or when I pray, or when I listen to worship, whether it's on my own in the car, or whatever it might be, I suddenly get a sense of, there might be a track on the radio or something I hear where everything, it doesn't go away. I'm in the same car, same situation, whatever. And what we see here in the text, he says, I want you to do three festivals. And in verse 15, he says this, and this is the first point, really. He says, I want you to remember, I'll put it in our right up to date, because I'm a Jesus follower, I'm a Christ follower. And I forget who I belong to sometimes. So Jesus says to me, here in the text, what does it say to me? We like it to say to us, it's important. The Bible is alive. The Lord says, I want you to remember your great salvation. Remember that time you were saved, when you came to Jesus. Remember God's great salvation. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For in that month I brought you out of Egypt. Remember that really awful place? Egypt in the Bible is a place of like former life, former way, when you weren't my people. And God says, I want you to celebrate this festival, which is going to remind you, I want you to regularly remind yourself that you've got a great salvation. God, I need that reminder. When the church is overwhelming, when life and work and whatever is, Lord, but you know, I have Jesus. I know recently, over recent weeks, and some of you here have as well, is we have family where, kind of like the grand old Duke of York, we're not north or south, we're halfway up. We're here in Coventry, and we have family in Hull, which is great. That's where I'm from, and I love Hull, is what you should really say. And we have family in Portsmouth, and they have been through some battles. And at the same time, within an hour or half an hour, we've had calls to be in both places. And that's really hard when you love people, isn't it? And sometimes the Lord, I just need that perspective when I say, God, I really need you. And so the Lord had ordained this festival of unleavened bread. And the reason it was unleavened was various reasons. But it was, in a sense, the haste of which that they were brought out of their old lives. But also, yeast in the Bible, even though it can be used positively, often it was used as a kind of like an infection, let's put it in modern language, kind of something that spoils the batch. Everything it touches is impacted. Now, Jesus kind of took this positively and spoke about the yeast of the kingdom. And that's really great. But for now, we're thinking about yeast was something that would make things moldy, if you want. And so this was to be something that was pure. This was about God's salvation coming out. Celebrate it. I want you to celebrate and remember in your hectic lives, my people, that you were brought out. A posh word might be redeemed. You've been bought at a price. You're not your own. I just wonder here how often we shared, a couple of people shared on our life group on Thursday night about the time when they really felt that calling to follow. I wonder, do you remember when you were brought out? When you first said, Lord Jesus, my life is a mess. Or when you first were conscious, even if, you know, of the fact that you needed a savior. Not, I think if you were maybe in church for many, many years, that's quite hard. But I do honestly think there comes a time, a growing awareness of in that, even in that situation, where we think, Jesus, my savior, Lord, there is none like you. I just wonder now if you could just think in your heart and mind about a time when you were really conscious the fact that Jesus had died for you, had gone to the cross for you. Has anyone got that consciousness to mind? The reason I'm doing that, I'm looking at the clock, don't worry. But I like to occasionally involve people. Oh, this one's on as well. Does anyone like to just... We need to keep this brief, by the way, because it's 2 or 3 share. Remember when you first loved Jesus? Would you like to bless people and say, don't worry. Oh, Tom, look at this. What a star. I never announce I'm doing this.
I was 26 at the time and thought I'd got everything in life that I wanted. But God came along and spoilt all of that by pouring something called conviction into my life. And I didn't really know what the answer to that really was until a guy at work just shared in a very simple, down-to-earth way what the gospel, what the good news was all about. And it really was like, pardon me, got a bit of a croaky throat here, but it really was like I couldn't get enough of it. And it changed my life. Thank you. It changed my life. Not going to church, not doing anything religious, because I didn't have any religious background at all. I had no religious baggage to bring with me into a life of faith. But the Holy Spirit reached into my life and changed it in a way that I used to find a little bit difficult to explain. How do you explain what an orange tastes like to someone who's never tasted one before? But that Holy Spirit transformed my life. And sometimes you do look back to that point in time in your life. And even when things are difficult and things are very, very challenging, despite all of that inconvenience in life, because we all like convenient lives, don't we? But despite all of that inconvenience, you can always look back not only to what God is doing in your life and other people around you now, but how God transformed your life back whenever that was at a particular point in history. And the other thing is as well that always strikes me is if God chose us at a particular point in time, God doesn't make mistakes. That point in time was part of his plan. It's significant. It's not arbitrary. God doesn't make mistakes. So it helps maybe sometimes to think, as it forms our prayer life or whatever, what are we doing to make sure and ensure that we are fitting or in the best place in God's plans for the future?
Thank you, Tom. That's not easy when you've got a frog in your throat, but I heard all that and that was wonderful. When Tom met Jesus, so the Spirit of God says, "You are mine, I've got a plan for your life." Has that happened to you?
I think I've got a frog in my throat as well.
Oh, it's popping around.
In one sense, this is completely contrasting with Tom. In another, it's quite complementary in that my mum used to sit me down preschool at the piano in the afternoons, and my favourite hymn that we'd sing was about the shepherd that left the 99 for the one. And at that age, I knew that that was me. And as soon as I understood what sin was, I was sorry for it. And I grew up in a church that preached the gospel every Sunday night. It was the same message every Sunday night. So I'd listened to quite a few gospels by the time I was about 20-odd. And I remember that although I accepted that I was that lamb and that he died for me and I was a Christian, it was a head response that I accepted it. It was just factual for me. But there was no emotional response, and that concerned me. But the Bible says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And I remember praying in my car coming home from work, because it was quite a journey, about 30 minutes, that I was concerned that there was no emotional response in me. And so I prayed about that. And later on that week, I was sobbing the whole journey long, because the Spirit came upon me in an emotional response to what he'd done. So it'd become not just a factual acceptance, it was more experiential for me.
Brilliant, James, thank you. Confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus died for you, that Jesus Christ is Lord, is still alive today. One more. Frank.
Hi, I used to go to a Brethren church from when I was 8 years old, that opened up in a school near where I lived. I only went really because they were giving away free Bibles. It was quite mercenary, and did the usual thing, Sunday school, youth group, and so on. And the guy that led the youth group, when I was a young boys group, really, I was only 11, his name was Bill Stokes, and he was illiterate. He couldn't read or write, but he knew Jesus, and he couldn't take the name of Jesus on his lips without crying. And he was out every Sunday evangelizing his own estate where he lived. And I used to tag along and hold the banner and all of that for him. And then on the 26th of October 1960, I was the grand old age of 11. I was in a gospel hall in Birmingham, and we'd been watching a film from the Billy Graham organization called The Shadow of the Boomerang. And as an 11-year-old, I understood not only that Christ had died for me because he loves me, it was not, gentle Jesus, meek and mild and a childish thing. I understood as an 11-year-old that Jesus stood between me and inevitable judgment. I understood that. No one told me that. The penny dropped. And I knew that I needed to give my life completely to Christ. And I remember I wore an old hand-me-down overcoat. And I remember when we were asked if anybody wanted to give their life to Christ to go to the front, I remember that someone had put chewing gum on my seat, and I couldn't get off the seat with my overcoat. I threw my overcoat off. And I look back on that as if I was throwing away my old life. You don't know that you're doing that when you're 11. None of that registers. None of the implication of Calvary registers when you're 11. Very little. But the knowledge that Christ died for me and took my place when it came to being responsible for my sin. He took my sin upon himself. I understood that. And it's been a bit of a journey. And you grow. You have to grow. And you're faced with lines in the sand. And you're going to step over this line. You're going to commit yourself more and more. And it happens regular intervals in your life. And it's very much an emotional thing for me. It's very much a love thing for me. The older I've got, and it's still today, the older I get, the older I've got, the more I realise how very little, how none at all I deserve the grace of God, but how much he has lavished his grace on me. Mm. And it's emotional. I love him.
Thank you, Frank. Real stories. You see this whole thing we do here. It might look slick sometimes. I'm so grateful. We do things in order, and we have a group, and it's about real people knowing Jesus on a daily basis and following him. That's what it all boils down to, and how he's made that possible with the cross. And God is so clever here, even to his people back in Exodus. He says, you're going to need to do this festival because there's going to be times in your life, and I would say frequent, I want daily, where remember your great salvation. Remember that, and that just somehow keeps my fingers on the ledge. And he says also, I want you to celebrate my great provision. In verse You saw that in 16. Celebrate the festival of harvest. This was like, would lead to Pentecost, like the first fruits. And also celebrate the ingathering. You did that in an all-in service recently. I listened to it. It was really, really good with Lou. Celebrate the fact that I'm just going to club this together today. I'm not going through the meaning of festivals all the way through. But the fact that, remember my great provision for you. Remember. And today we can know that we are Jesus's. We can know that he's given us his Holy Spirit to live within us. We can know that not only as we start the journey, even later on, the end of the harvest, we are those who are daily subject to his provision. We are constantly in need. Give us this day our daily bread. And so the Lord is so wise in saying that these things, imagine a believer, whatever you threw at them, they were consciously aware of their salvation, who they were in Jesus, of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God lives in them. He's provided a helper, of the fact that every day the Lord encourages us. Remember my great provision. I often say this, but doing this helps us when we feel beyond hope. Sometimes there are people who might say, I don't want to live anymore or be here anymore. Isn't it great that the Apostle Paul, who wrote, was inspired to write 3/4 of the Bible, could openly say to a church in Corinth, we even despaired of life itself. Isn't that beautiful honesty from someone who was Christ yet hasn't got it all together and doesn't pretend they have? But do you know what kept Paul from not jumping off the ledge? He says, we despaired of life itself, but we are convinced that the God who has delivered us in the past, provided in the past, will continue to do so. Isn't it wonderful? And here God says, remember your salvation, but remember I am Jehovah Jireh, your great provider. I am the one who's never going to let you down. I began that work in you, Philippians 1:6. Might be a favorite of yours, I don't know. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. He's not going to stamp on your hand on the ledge. He's not going to do it. If whilst we were his enemies, the Bible says, Christ died for us, how much more now we are his friends will he embrace us? Maybe you feel you've let God down in some huge way. Join the club. You're most welcome. Because we are a bunch of simply forgiven rebels and sinners who love Jesus and want to follow him every day. And so it really helps us, remembering God's salvation, remembering God's provision, can keep us on track when the now is unbearable some days. And then above all this, it really helps me when I remember his salvation. God, I'm so grateful for the cross. Thank you for providing. I remember that time. I remember my daily bread. That's what I love about Tom. Whatever he's going through, do you know what? He'll always finish his sentence when he speaks to me. He'll say, but we are so blessed. Does it a lot, doesn't he? Do you know, Tom, though? But he's right. But the important thing that almost captures the whole thing and holds it together for me is verse 17. By remembering that God is sovereign. Nothing surprising. Verse 17, did you see that? Celebrate the fest. 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. The one who's not surprised by what you're going through right now. The one who's not surprised by your heartache. The one who's not surprised by your struggle. The one who celebrates your success. but the one who is with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So imagine how I feel now, in spite of my pressure of life, business or school or whatever it might be, home, family, heartache, illness. Imagine, I know my Saviour. I know his provision. And I know, Lord, whatever the presenting circumstances, you are sovereign. Wow. I feel better already. And the Lord here says, this is going to really help you. Because he knows they don't even know this yet. They've got 40 years of wilderness wanderings. Are you glad that you don't know? God doesn't say before you face stuff what you're going to face. Are you glad that he doesn't say? He tells us bits. Be glad. They've got 40 years of wandering and rebellion and disbelief and that. But he says, these are really going to help you. Remember your salvation. Remember my provision. And remember whatever you're facing, I am sovereign. My plan is going to come through. I hope that encourages you today. I really, really do. What a difference it would make to all of us if we went forward with that great salvation, his provision, knowing he's sovereign over all. And as we just bring this down now, and we're going to sing, above all, he doesn't want religious adherence. I'm fine. I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. I've actually said it to someone today. I can't believe it, actually. I think it's like a Roger over and out. I don't know what it is. How are you doing? Yeah, I'm all right. You had a good week? Yeah, really good. Awful. Week. Really bad week. I've had a bad week. I hope you've had a great week. There's been good things. We've got a lot of blessings. I agree with Tom. So he calls us to wrap all that, his salvation, his provision, and knowing his sovereign, in good old honesty and wholeheartedness. However broken we are. He says there, do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast. Yeast was a spoiler. Behold, have something that's really pure. Come before me with purity. That purity. Bring the best. 19. Bring the best. Be wholehearted about even your brokenness. Just bring it. Lord, it's not much, but you know, I'm bringing in it all. And I'm broken and I'm wholeheartedly honest. And this is so hard. But you are sovereign. You're amazing. And I think that would make a difference to how I just see things. You don't have to perform. It's so freeing. Be wholehearted. You know, and this is going to be in contrast to some dead, ugly ceremonies that the pagans do. Don't cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Oh, God. Celebrate differently, even at Christmas now as we build up. Celebrate differently to the world. Celebrate differently. We have at Christmas, wow, what an opportunity. Pray for our services. The dates are in the sheet. Pray for our conversations at work. We can talk about our great salvation, God's great year-round provision, not just at Christmas. The fact that he's sovereign when Christmas is a disaster. That's all right. And so I would just say, as we approach one of our festivals, make sure it's to the Lord. Do a festival to me. Let's remember his salvation. That Christ who will be born, who would live that perfect life, die that death on a cross in my place, in your place, would rise again to conquer death and our greatest fear, who then calls us to follow and submit as our Savior and new Master, serving him in his kingdom purposes. Isn't this great? Until he returns for his people, yes, and to judge the world. But let's remember his great and ongoing provision, his Spirit that guides and leads and helps us to follow him. And above all, let's remember he is sovereign, that whatever we are facing, he sees all, he knows it all, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. And to a watching world, We can celebrate with honest transparency and wholeheartedness. So if someone at work or wherever says, I could never be a Christian, I'm not good enough. That's a very common thing. People's imagined barriers. We'll join the club. It's great to be broken, but I know someone who isn't, who's amazing, and he loves you and wants you to follow him. Let me pray and we're going to sing. If you'd like to pray, maybe this has reminded you of better days. I hope it's, in a way, released you from the angst of having to be perfect or right or religious, and that you can enjoy Jesus and slowly walk with him. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you lived the perfect life we could never live. You died that death that in 1,000 lifetimes we had never been good enough or perfect enough to do. And you conquered death, the first fruit of the resurrection. Oh Lord, would you remind us today? If there's any here who have forgotten that great salvation, or perhaps have never said, Jesus, I turn around now, I repent, I want to be a new creation in Jesus. Thank you for the cross, for dying for me, for everything past, present and future I've done. I now turn to you and give you my life, a life of love and wholehearted honesty and service, including my broken pieces. And I ask that you would turn that into a pot to your glory. Oh Lord, change me, would you now? Come into my life. May I follow you and follow your purposes for your kingdom. Oh Lord, thank you that I can celebrate my salvation in Jesus. My great provider, thank you God. And you're the sovereign Lord who loves me and keeps me for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd love to pray with you or for you. If there's anything at all, don't let the moment pass and rush off or whatever. But just in your heart now to say, Lord, thank you for reminding me I'm a child of the King. That's who I am. God bless. Thank you.
If you want to take a minute or two to think about this word that was just heard, God is sovereign. Jesus is sovereign. Regardless of what we go through, regardless of the situation, the circumstance. You know, I was thinking while Keith was, you know, sharing the word, is there anything in my life that I would need other than Jesus to make it, to make my life better? There's nothing. Christ is just enough. As a matter of fact, he's more than enough. His death and his resurrection gives us hope. And as it says in the book of Philippians 1, he who began a good work is faithful to complete it.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.